This is Coach Cimarroni. I trust you are well and about to emerge after this most challenging of years. In all that we have collectively been through, we can still find that silver lining. That said, it is my pleasure and honor to announce a rekindling and reconnection to my longtime and good friends at the Montrose Auto Group. Mike Thompson, Chris Mills, and the incredible staff at Montrose Westside have afforded me and Razor, my company, an opportunity to present the outstanding lineup of high-quality vehicles in their stable. Jaguars, Range Rovers, Volvos, and a bevy of high-quality pre-owned vehicles are at our and your disposal. I look forward to being of service to you and your family, friends, company, and associates at your request and direction. Let's get together soon to discover how we may be a solution to your driving requirements and desires. Thanks so much and talk soon. This is Coach Cimarroni for the Montrose Auto Group's West Side Store.
This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Type, and I have on the phone, not in studio, I wish I had him in studio, Frank Jasper, shoot, from Vision Quest. Frank, how the heck are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm good. I'm glad that you ate that great breakfast that we talked about off air. I love the avocado toast. That's fantastic. It's my favorite thing.
I love healthy fats. You know, yeah. People shy away from fats, but if you have healthy fats, that's what's going to fuel your body. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a cleaner fuel than carbohydrates. It just burns better. It has less byproducts and it lasts longer and there's no dip in energy.
Right, and it's also good for your brain and skin and all that good stuff, I'm assuming.
Hey, lubrication, my friend, lubrication for the body.
We need it, man, especially I'll be 64 soon, so I need as much lubrication as I can.
Exactly.
Right on. Well, I know that you've got a lot of that in your life because that's what you're doing out in California, but we want to start with your younger years and I'll tell you, Frank, this is just fantastic. I know my audience is going to love hearing some of these stories about Vision Quest and the whole cast of characters. I mean, it's unbelievable. Forrest Whitaker, Bulldozer, Daphne Zuniga, Margie Epstein, Madonna before she was Madonna, Linda Fiorentino, Carla, Ronnie Cox, the dad, John Peters, producer. It just what an incredible Matthew Modine, Loudon Swain. I mean, and you. What an incredible cast to line up and create this, you know, basically cult classic.
And just remember also Harold Becker is just an amazing director in his own right. And
sure.
His other movies are really stand the test of time as well. So it has a lot to do with his ability to pick talent and be able to bring it together in a specific way. And
right.
So I give a hats off to him too.
Yeah, and I think the Peters Gruber, they were really hitting their stride in that time too. I think John Peters was at one time Barbara Streisand's love interest, but having said that, you also had a pretty good consultant in Cash Stone too. I heard.
Yeah, the guy's had years and years of coaching, and I think he was around. I want to say 50 years old at the time when he was running all of the wrestlers and really taught Matthew how to wrestle and just put together the whole background and extras, all the wrestlers and wrestled with him. He would run 2 miles and then he'd come in and he would do handstand pushups at age 50. So
fantastic.
Just a tremendous person, athlete, and just inspiration to everybody.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, because the coach, Coach Rada, Charles Halloran, he what an incredible character actor. He was in the original remake of The Thing, along a number of other movies. And, he really, I think, embodied that coaching persona pretty well as well. I don't know what you thought about that, but I really liked the way he presented himself.
I absolutely thought he locked it in. And unfortunately, we lost him some years later, but
yes.
Thank God we had him for this project. And, you know, like you said, he just was an amazing actor, did all these character roles and really carried the load there in regards to giving something for Matthew to work off of, you know, and in the movie.
Right. And of course, you know, Ronnie Cox, the ultimate dad, allowing Linda Fiorentino to come in and live with, I mean, what the heck? God bless that. What a fantastic situation. I mean, what was the dynamic? You guys had to talk about that on set. I'm amazing, right? No?
Well, so I was kind of isolated. I don't know, how other shoots go with actors, but sometimes they isolate or sometimes they don't want them talking. They don't want them to become friendly. And right. And so I was in this very unique position that I wasn't an actual actor. So I wasn't hanging out with the actors and right. I was in what's called the A line or whatever, the roles that had, lines and speaking roles.
Okay.
And so I had my own, trailer along with all the other actors. And so I didn't hang out with the wrestlers much either. I mean, I wow. knew some of the wrestlers because one of the wrestlers had told me about the role.
Yeah.
But I was kind of in that little world. And it's kind of like an athlete preparing for an event, a major event, which is the way I looked at it.
Sure.
And I just had to stay focused and just do exactly what I was asked to do. And it was, losing 25 pounds in 2.5 weeks. The filming was the beginning of that.
Sure. Well, you were, I mean, you were incredibly cut. And, you know, that famous scene with the log, I think Stallone watched that and put it in his movie. But I heard that it was hollowed out, but it was still pretty heavy, right?
Exactly. And, it was just awkward with something on the back. You had to kind of reach around backwards and sure. pull this log. If it has weight, then it gives you some more stability, but it was more cumbersome than it was heavy, but it wasn't light.
Right.
It was, had some weight to it, but, I recently, about, 2 years ago, I carried, one of those training logs into a fundraiser, a USA Foundation fundraiser, and we auctioned it off to Randy Couture, who
nice.
big support for wrestling.
He
came from wrestling.
Yeah,
amazing guy. So he was there. Chris Pratt was there.
Sure.
And so there was some great support, and he bought the log, and all that money went into support wrestling on the West Coast.
That's an awesome story. And yeah, Couture was in all those Expendable movies with Stallone and the boys. So yeah, it was pretty fun to see that. And he made reference to his ears, which I always loved. It's always our calling card, right? When you walking down the street and see somebody with ears like that, you're like, dude, okay, I got you.
You know where he's been. You know what he's done.
Exactly.
You know the time he's put in, yeah.
And that's also, too, kind of get me to, as a wrestling coach at that time, I was assistant coach in an area high school called Brush. And then right after that became the head coach at Beechwood High School. And obviously, there's no way Loudon Swain is throwing you with that hip toss in a million years, but he did, he did it in the movie for dramatic effect. But tell me about a little bit of the training about that and wrestling with him, and just walk us through that a little bit, because everybody obviously is interested in that dynamic.
Well, listen, you know what wrestling's like and how long it takes one to get the real dynamics of it. You're learning basics in the beginning.
Right.
You really have no idea what you're doing. You're going to basically get thrown around more than you're actually going to do any damage on the mat.
Right.
Usually in that first year. And, Matthew had to kind of cover that ground very quickly.
Right.
6 months is about all he had of exposure to wrestling. So you have to give him some, big credit for really stepping up and giving this a really nice look on the, on the big screen.
Right.
It looked, what I felt like, it looked like it could have been a battle to some degree. And
right.
His character, he also, I have to say that he just played his character really well. All the different, the love interests, the joking aspect, he had a good comedic timing, and he was intense when he needed to be intense. So.
Sure.
I thought for him, this was a beautiful role. And, my relationship with him didn't really expand much during the filming, but I've stayed in touch. I've stayed in touch with his wife, Carrie. They're very good people.
Nice.
I've run into them at different events. I hadn't seen him in 30 years. And then there was a Beat the Streets event in New York City.
Sure. I love it.
And the Russians brought their national wrestling team, and the USA had a national wrestling team, and they wrestled in a place called Libby Square. They built a platform and a wrestling mat, and they flew me out for that. And Matthew was sitting there, he and I, just on the side of the mat.
Yep.
And so we got to catch up, and that was really great. He's a solid citizen. He's been with the same woman throughout his entire career. He's had just a fantastic acting career, and he's dabbled in producing, directing, and writing projects as well.
Sure, and he just recently was in, I think, the first, maybe second season of Stranger Things, which really upped his Q rating, if you will, because of that show. That show was wildly popular with Bobby Brown, whatever her name is, Millie Bobby Brown. There we go. Thank you, Mav Peters, our producer extraordinaire, Mav Peters. Big announcement. He's engaged to be married on May 10th. We just told him that.
Congratulations.
Yeah. How about that, huh? So that's great news for Blood. The Blood Time family is going to be growing. And so you had those really incredible experiences, but you know, you had to lose 25 pounds. And I heard too that you had to come back and recut the weigh-in scene.
Yeah.
And had to lose the same amount or close to the same amount of weight quickly because they had to do it in post-production. Is that true?
So, you know, when I got cast in this role, and it was a series of five different auditions. If we want, we can go into those more specifically, but it was tremendous experience for me. I made just it's like anything I do, I make a total of 100% commitment. And when I was cast, they had 2 weeks before they started shooting.
Okay.
And they had cast this role twice before, and neither one of those guys worked out. So they were under tremendous pressure to make this happen.
Oh, my gosh.
To find the right person. And I just, luckily, one of the wrestlers was in the movie named Rick Thiefold.
Okay.
Yeah, who was a wrestler in Eastern Washington.
Gotcha.
Took that semester off, and I was the athletic trainer that semester for the wrestling team. So as an athletic trainer, you work with different teams. You play, work with the football team, work with the basketball team. So you get different exposure. Well, that semester I was working in the wrestling room as an athletic trainer for the team and traveled with them.
Okay.
But Rick came in and told me about this movie, and then he says, you know what? They're still looking for somebody. They're looking for somebody 6 foot tall, you know, blonde hair,
right,
muscular build that can wrestle. And he can listen to me. He goes, that's you.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta go do this. I'm like, no way. You know, I'm like, I'm not an actor. I've never done anything. I've never done any drama, dramatic, anything.
But
he convinced me because he said, listen, I'm getting paid. And as a college student, you know, to get paid is to do things you like. That's pretty good.
Oh, my God.
So I finally thought, well, I'll go see what this is about. If I get the role, then I'll go and watch and see how a movie gets made. I'll be an actor, you know, a wrestler in the background.
Right.
I'll get some money so I can pay because I was paying for my own college at the time. So that's what I went in there thinking.
Okay. Okay.
Went in there thinking, like, oh, I'm just going to get a role in the background. And so I walked into my first audition.
And little did you know, you're going to be the antagonist. Unbelievable.
Well, and she hands me sides, which are lines for a scene. And I'm like, what is this? Rick never told me. Lucky thing he didn't. I don't think I would have walked in there. But anyway, we walked through these scenes a few times, and then I made a mistake and kind of laughed. And she, because I was nervous, and she looked right at me, and she said, we're looking for intensity here. If you make a mistake, just carry on as if nothing happened. Got it? And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So I read him again with her, and then she called Harold Becker up, and she goes, hey, he wants to see you. So we walked around to his office.
Sure.
I walked in there. He looked at me, and he goes, okay, you know the lines now. He takes the sides out of my hands. Now, I've read it, like, what, twice?
Right. right. Yeah, you're like, okay, whatever. Let's go.
What is going on?
Yeah.
But I got through it. I just trusted I had something imprinted in there. Now, they're not like long monologues, but it's still a timing thing. You still have to remember what the guy's saying.
Right.
So I read the lines. He was okay. Now he said, you got to see if you can wrestle. And I had to go do a practice, 2.5 hour practice with Cash Stone. And then I had to come back and shave my mustache. And then I came back to read the final. See, it was at the fourth and fifth audition part is that they flew this guy, the John Peters and Peter Goober, flew a guy from California up that they liked.
Okay.
And the producer or the director liked me. He saw me and he liked me. So
right.
I had to convince the producers that I was the guy.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So I go to read, you know, for the casting director that's on the main casting part in L.A.
Yeah.
And she's sitting in front of all these guys that are sitting behind. And before I even walked in there, Harold Becker walks out and meets me in the hallway. And he goes, okay, Frank, he says, when you come in here, I want you to stay intense the entire time, no matter what happens. Got it? And then
right.
he just slaps me in the side of the face.
I love it.
You know, I grit my teeth and I go, and I said, got it. And I turned around and he goes, that's what I want.
I love it. It's fantastic, man. So ready to wrestle.
A lot like a wrestling match.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. Like, cuff you upside absolutely. The head, baby. I love it.
Yeah, just get your focus.
Absolutely. That was so clear. Well, I want to come back to that. We got to take a break for just a minute or two. Talk about that incredible next scene. This is Coach Cimarron. I'll be right back.
Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com. In the midst of our current health crisis, we at Blood Time want to thank Guy and Gus Seiko and the team at Defense Soap as a beacon of our protection. Body wipes, skin cleansers, bars of soap, shower gels, and disinfectant tablets. All this and more as Defense Soap is on the front line of our protection. Thanks to the Seiko family and their team at Defense Soap. Check them out for all your protection needs during these precarious times. Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com.
Hey, have you ever wondered how the ultra wealthy grow their real estate portfolio so fast and furious? Have you ever heard of the infinite banking concept? Learn how you can become your own bank and build out your own real estate portfolio like the pros, like the ultra wealthy. Call Ed Knezovich or Ryan Miller at Next Level Continuing Education at 614-648-2440. Learn how to purchase investment real estate without spending a dollar of your own capital through Next Level Continuing Education. 614-648-2440. And we're back with Frank Jasper after getting slapped in the face, cuffed in the head and getting ready, gritting his teeth and going back in there. So, Frank, tell us a little bit about what happened when you walked back in there.
So I walk in and they go, okay, take your shirt off. So now I'm standing there with no shirt on, trying to be a tough guy, reading
right.
his lines. And I'm reading with a woman casting director who's sitting there in front.
Right.
And every time I read a line, she just looks at me and kind of like shakes her head a little bit and just like, wow, this guy's ridiculous. That's what I'm reading off of her, right? So
yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? I just stayed in character, walked out, and I talked to my casting director on the way out. I go,
did I look
like a fool?
I mean,
did I look ridiculous? She goes, why? No. What do you mean? I said, every time I read a line with this woman named Nancy Klopper, she would just like look at me like, oh man, this guy's ridiculous. And she goes, no, she cast this role twice before. Neither one of those worked out. And so she was trying to trip you up.
Gotcha. And you wouldn't let it happen, man.
Okay,
I love that.
Game on.
Yeah, baby.
So then because Cash Stone hadn't seen this guy named Frank Zagarino, who was the guy that came up from L.A., he hadn't seen him wrestle. So we went on set.
Right.
And everybody stopped. Then they had a mat with a nice big light on top of it. And Frank and I got on the mat and coach would call out moves like duck under, double leg, single leg, you know. Now fireman, and we had to go back and forth. And then he finally said, okay, this kid's good.
Yep.
So we signed off on the kid from LA. And so we stood there for about 5-10 minutes and John Peters came over and he goes, okay, you got the role.
Fantastic.
Because every time I looked over at you, you were just like grinding teeth, staring me down. He said, that's what I'm looking for here. I was like, okay.
Well, you brought that to the screen, brother. You were the absolute antagonist. There was no question about it. You played menacing as best as it could be. You were better than the dude from Cobra Kai.
Johnny
boy. Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of had that same look, you know, the blonde, you know, the all-American badass. So it was something, dude. You brought it. And tell me a little bit about, did you have any kind of interplay with any of these you know, the big names, the Forrest Whitakers, the Madonnas, the Daphnes, the Lindas, any of those people, did you have any interaction with them on set or in offset?
Well, you know, Madonna was an unknown.
Yeah, she was. This was before she was Madonna. Right.
Yeah. So she got the movie called, or I mean, I want to say, you know, Crazy for You, which was the soundtrack for the movie. And a very good friend of mine, John Bettis, was the writer.
Was that Desperately Seeking Susan? Desperately Seeking Susan, I think, wasn't it? Was that?
So that was probably, I don't even know.
That came out after, I think. Yeah, I think it came out after, yeah.
This was her very first exposure. Right. And she was an unknown. They found her in a New York bar. And, you know, again, you know, Harold just likes certain looks, and it worked perfectly. And so we started filming. We filmed for 10 weeks. Uh-huh. And then I went back to school. I held my 189 pounds at 4% body fat for 10 weeks. Jeez. And then I went back to bodybuilding because I was a bodybuilder at the time.
Gotcha.
And jumped back up to, you know, 217. 3 months later, I got a phone call. Well, we got one more scene.
Oh, dear God.
And I had a month then at that time to lose the weight. So that was much easier.
Yeah.
Then I went back to school.
That was for the weigh-in scene?
That one was for the weigh-in scene, exactly.
Okay.
And then I went back to school and I started really hitting the weights hard again, getting ready for competition. And I get a call again 3 months later. And so I tell them, listen, they got one more scene they want me to do. And I made a commitment to myself into the project that I would give everything I possibly could to do my role, my job, the best I possibly could.
Okay.
And so I said, okay, but listen, I am getting ready for competition. I'm weighing 225 now.
Jesus. Holy
cow. I'm not going to go down to 189. I'll go down to 200. And so that's what I did. I went down to 200, which is a much easier cut for me than going down to 189 at that point. And that's when I showed up in the bathroom scene, you're a bleeder, you know, 60 seconds on the mat and your dog meat, that scene. And so I was wearing a jean jacket. So it's not as noticeable.
Right.
That, you know. But 10 more pounds, 11 more pounds.
but your jean jacket can hide that, but not when you're weighing in. Particularly back then, in those days, you know, we weighed in naked, so not anymore.
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore.
And you actually had some time afterwards to recover a little bit.
Exactly. But there was some interest.
The reason I brought that up, Peter, was because it ended up being over almost a year process before the movie actually then got released. And during that time, Madonna skyrocketed.
Yeah, she went nuts. Absolutely nuts.
She went absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
like a virgin, all that nutty stuff. Yeah.
All of her. And so when Vision Quest finally came out in February, when it was
February of 85.
February 15th, I think.
I think you're right.
When it got over to Europe, it was called Crazy for You, starring Madonna.
Oh, how crazy. Well, you know what? Hey, marketing is marketing, right? I mean, let's hit with the iron's hot.
What else it said on the poster was Matthew must choose between a 5'4" brunette and a 6'4" monster that he has to wrestle. I'm thinking, wow, I just grew like some 4 inches over there.
You're a monster.
Peter.
What's that?
I am big in Europe. That's all I got to say.
Exactly. You're a European monster. You're like David Hasselhoff over there. I love it. You're the Hoff, man. And it's funny because, I see some of these outtakes or these posters, you know, of you in the referee's position, and you look like an animal. I mean, an animal. I mean, it's incredible. And, it's also – now, this was shot, what, mostly upstate Washington, or where was the shot?
Yeah, you know, Terry Davis, the guy that wrote, author of Vision Quest, lived in Spokane area and actually taught writing classes there as well. And so they brought the filming to Spokane, Washington. So it was all done in local schools and gymnasiums. And Joe Albee Stadium was the stadium we did the log scene in. And they were all – every one of those actors that was – or should say wrestlers that were extras – they're all state champions. They're all, you know, hammers on the teams. They're at Meade and Rogers.
Yep.
So they're all, you know, if you look at them, you can tell they're all, you know, good wrestlers.
Yeah, and Chris Pratt is from that area, isn't he?
You know, I think he's more on the closer to Seattle area.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
That's this what is, I want to yeah. say. And yeah. actually, I ran into him at an event not long ago, that one where I carried the log in.
Yeah.
And so he's a big supporter. I didn't mention that. He's also a big support for wrestling. And yep. and so good for him. Appreciate yeah. his support.
Yeah, he does some stuff on social media for us as well. And same thing with Garth Brooks, too. I was just watching him at the inauguration. Garth has been a big Okie State supporter. It's kind of cool to have these guys that, you know, may or may not wrestle. But I know Chris Pratt wrestled. I think he took fifth or sixth in the state in Washington.
Yeah, he wrestled in high school, and he was like a captain on the team at one point. But he just really appreciates it because he's been in those rooms, and he knows what it takes.
He does. You know? He does. And it's interesting, too, because that area has got that that shamanic – vision vibe too. that was an incredible scene, right? The shamanic vision. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you can say shamanic. Shamanic, yeah. You know, like a shaman.
Yeah.
You know, that whole vision quest concept. Mm-hmm. Native American, actually. I was invited, my very first sweat that I ever did. I got invited to the Arizona reservation there by a coach, Mark Hillis, for Window Rock Wrestling.
Nice.
And he took me out and 50 miles out in the reservation to this guy named Daryl, who has a sweat lodge on his property. No running water.
Wow.
These guys live like hardcore. And he just has his Hogan, and he has his sweat. He has his sweat out there.
And that's it,
and
man.
So I did a sweat with these guys, and it was really an honor. I was the only, you know, non-native in the sweat. And
that's
so
cool.
Whenever they open their doors like that, it's just, you know, very special. And so, I, you know, my shout goes out to those guys. Thank you.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's amazing what this sport can bring to us in so many ways, not only physically, but spiritually and psychologically and financially at times. Not a big sport yeah. financially, but it's been great. And so, you know, the other thing too that I wanted to talk to you about is the after effects of this movie for you. And I know that you're heavily into health and spiritual health, what you've been doing for the past probably 30 years. With your life partner. We'd love to mention her. So if you'd like to mention her name and what you guys are doing together.
Yeah. So I was thinking that all I did was play a role in a movie. And then my life was going back to, you know, athletic training, finishing up my, you know, pre-med degree, which I put in 4,000 hours in the athletic training room. I had all my curriculum finished at that time. I was just finishing my minor in K through 12 education.
Right.
And the movie came out, and then I got a call from an agent in New York, and APA said, listen, we really liked your work in Vision Quest. We'd like to represent you. Would you come and meet with one of our agents and mm-hmm. see what we can work out? So I did. I flew down to L.A. and didn't sign with them, but did sign with another agency that I liked a little. It was a little smaller, but more boutique and type of an agency, and they had a good rep. So I came to L.A. I just, at a time when I could put my education on hold, figured if I needed to, I could come back, finish it up.
Right.
Through everything, and I had 280 ZX at the time. I was an iron worker for 4 years. So okay. I bought myself this nice 280 ZX.
Nice.
And all my everything that I own fit in that.
That little Nissan Datsun. Yeah, I love it. The Nissan Datsun 280 ZX.
Two-door hatchback. Everything fit in that car.
Oh, yeah.
And drove to L.A. and slept on the floor in my brother's room until I could find a place of my own and started acting classes and started going out for auditions. And for 3 years, I was really immersed myself in it. I mean, it was acting classes 6 p.m. to 12 midnight every Jeez. Night of the week wow. for 3 years.
Wow.
That's so commitment. it was, again, like I would do that, and then I would go be a sorter for 8 hours, and then I'd sleep for a little bit, and then I'd get up and go do auditions, and then go to my acting class, and then repeat.
Right.
And I didn't take good care of myself, so my body started breaking down. But I got another movie, another TV show. I did a national commercial. I started, I was 2.5 years, I did a live action show up in Universal Studios called Conan.
Oh, yeah.
We fought with swords. So I got to have like sword experience. They had a master swordsman come and work with all of us. So,
what an experience.
You know, good fighting experience. Go ahead.
What an experience. It's incredible.
You know, and there was times that there was like 35,000 people that came through the gate up at Universal Studios.
Oh, sure.
We would do like 15-minute shows, and I would do like 9 shows in one day sometimes if I was covering for another team.
Yep.
But it was a blast.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so what are you doing now? That's fantastic.
Well, so that led me to the point where I was completely depleted and burnt out. I was drinking too much coffee. I wasn't eating healthy. I wasn't taking good care of myself. I wasn't getting enough sleep. All those things added up, and my body was breaking down.
Yeah.
So I went back into healing. I met my wife shortly thereafter, and I started going to Samri University of Oriental Medicine.
Okay.
Thought I'd just get an acupuncture. I would be just learn some acupuncture points, get a degree. 5 years later, I ended up a master's degree in Oriental Medicine. It takes a long time, and the state board's just as tough as any state board or even a boards become a lawyer.
I get it. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So it's tough, but I made it through it. And then my wife and I opened a clinic in Pacific Palisades. And since 1995, we had a clinic in Pacific Palisades. And I just recently closed it.
Okay.
On November of 20th of last year.
Okay.
And we moved to Carmel.
Beautiful. Carmel. I love it. What's your wife's name?
My wife's name is Sanda, S-A-N-D-A.
Wow. Hello, Sanda. We love Sanda.
Everybody wants to put an R in there, so I always have to kind of like let them know it's Sanda.
Well, you're living, Sanda and you are living in paradise. I mean, Carmel is fantastic. Just fantastic.
It is beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful here.
Absolutely.
So I'm doing now is what I started some years ago, and doing distance nutritional counseling. So
okay.
I'll send them out forms, and then we'll do a consultation, and I'll talk about lifestyle, talk about food,
sure,
sleep, hydration, meditation, all of the things, along with going through every piece of food they put in their mouth, every liquid they put in their body.
Yep.
Because it's really important to know everything that's going in and see. Some people have allergies to things. Some people don't even realize it.
Sure.
Some people are, hitting too much dairy or too much gluten. And those cause inflammation most of the time in most people. So
inflammation's is the absolute devil. There's no question about it. Absolutely.
So you have to find, everything starts with every dis-ease in the body starts with inflammation.
Yep.
Now,
garbage in, garbage out.
Inflammation as well.
Yep.
So, but you want not to be inflamed.
That's
as
for
an
sure.
athlete.
Yep.
So, I'm working with, just patients, but also some athletes. I started working with a guy last year who won the NCAA national championship, wrestling championship at 125.
Okay.
And so he and I we're staying in touch, and he's getting prepared for the Olympics. So I'm hoping that he'll represent us for 125 in the Olympics.
Is that Spencer
year.
Lee?
No, it's Nick Siriano.
Oh, Siriano, for sure. Yeah. My bad. Yeah, Siriano's a stud from Rutgers, right? Yeah, Rutgers.
Yep. He was the first national champion for Rutgers, and somebody, one of his other teammates, then later on that day became the second.
Absolutely,
in history,
no doubt.
So.
That they had two right there. It was killer. But well, that's fantastic, Frank. And it's interesting. I was looking at some of the dialogue, and you forget, but some crazy dialogue about like female. Sexual parts. It's just fantastic, fantastic dialogue. I mean, and going through the movie is just really iconic stuff. I mean, over and over again. And I just am so pleased that you shared your story to some degree with us, and that you're doing these wonderful things with some of the people in our sport, but also just in, with humanity in general. And very, very honored to have you on the show.
Well, listen, it's it's such an amazing sport on so many levels. And I'm reading a book called Finish Strong by Dan Russell.
Sure.
And, you know, his dad was like, never really thought that it was going to be Dan's, you know, lifelong journey to become a gold medalist. But he knew that wrestling would turn boys into men and give them the foundation to really deal with life's adversities, period.
Without question.
It's a sport that is emerging. I mean, it's really getting some major pull these days. And the fact that women are wrestling now is a big jump. And these women are insane. Especially at the elite levels.
Oh, Helen Maroulis and some of these others are fantastic.
Yeah, yep. Maroulis, Adeline Gray. Stock. I mean, Lori Lulin. So it's like, they go over there. They went over to Nice just recently. I don't know if you saw this, but in Nice, they went over there. They had like 4 or 5 gold medals.
Yeah. It's a huge jump in excellence, but you don't expect anything less than the United States. I mean.
And by the way, Nick won his weight class over there too.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I was really happy for him, man. He's right on track, man. We're just tracking just like we want. He's really doing his thing. I'm really happy for him.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, we are very happy that you're continuing to stay involved in the sport. And during this time of the virus, I ask my guests to leave our audience with some words of courage and words of encouragement. So I'm going to turn it over to you and be quiet, Frank.
Okay, so lately I've been doing for the last seven, 8 weeks, a podcast called Cutting Edge Nutrition with Shoot. And on that podcast, my intention was to talk about nutrition for optimal performance on the mat and really talk to people about how to cut weight. If you're going to cut weight, how to do it the right way, and not be yo-yoing up and down. I really hate the black eye that has on the sport, the cutting, because it's not a cutting sport. It's a wrestling sport. So we want to push it to that. I always tell people, if you're going to cut weight, you need to start early. You need to start at least 2 months out, depending on how much weight you need to lose. You need to lose it slowly. And you need to start by just adjusting your diet, taking out pro-inflammatory foods, white foods, all of the junk foods, over-processed foods, deep-fried foods. Those all have to go to the side. You need to eat lean and clean. 3/4 of the plate should be vegetables and salad. 1/4 lean protein and a healthy fat at every meal. That's kind of the basics. And so in there, I've been trying to get to the part where I'm kind of talking about more optimal performance. But lately, it's all been about what you can do to fortify your immune system. And luckily, because of coronavirus and COVID that we're dealing with on a global scale and a pandemic scale here in the United States. And so one of the smartest things you can do is take all those pro-inflammatory foods out of your diet anyway, and then fortify your immune system with vitamin C, D, E, magnesium and zinc, and a pre and probiotic. That's the foundation of supporting and fortifying your immune system. And because we don't know when you're going to get vaccinated, you don't know how well that vaccine is going to work on maybe some of the variants that are out. Variants are, you know, starting to really grow. And so we have to really invest in yourself, invest in your sleep, your hydration, moderate exercise, eating right, having the right mindset. You need to do the basics, wash your hands frequently, social distance, wear a mask. Things if we did as a country, we would be through this already. Because I've spoken to a friend of mine who lives in Shanghai, one of my best friends. He was a guy that I went through black belt training with in Aikido, and now he's working in Shanghai. He says they're back to normal there because everybody had to comply. They don't give you a choice.
Right.
Everybody had to comply. This is before they came out with any vaccines, and business are back to normal. So we need to use our vaccines. We need to use all the tools we have available. We need to be smart, and we'll get through this. And then we want to get through this so that we can have those tournaments. I miss those tournaments, man. I haven't done any appearances in a couple of months, and it's like, man, I miss that.
We need to get back to socialization. I agree with you 100%. And those pillars that you're talking about are so, so, so important. Everything that you talked about is exactly what I preach in the wrestling room. So I could not agree with you more, Frank.
And so that's it. I just, I love you guys. I love wrestling. And I just want to promote it and, just take it to the next level.
Awesome. Well, Frank, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. I could have done this for another whatever long we did this for. It was great, and I had so many more questions, but maybe that'll be for season three. I'll bring you back. How's that sound?
Absolutely. Nice talking great. With you, Peter. Good luck. All the best with you guys.
Frank, good luck with your podcast, and stay healthy, stay strong, keep helping people, and thank you so much. This was Shoot from Vision Quest. Frank Jasper, Coach Cimarroni signing off. Love to all. We are all blood.
Hey, guys, I want to thank Affinity Whole Health and the owner, Brian Zide. He started this company to get you feeling like you were in your prime. You can reach this company at feelgreatcleveland.com, founded obviously by a former wrestler athlete and his partner, who's also a former wrestler and athlete. The whole goal for this is to get you feeling like you're in your prime, but also helps you with muscle definition and strength, increased libido, increased energy and drive, increased mental acuity, obviously increases your confidence if you get all those, and increases recovery time from workouts. If you like all those things and you want all those things, check them out at feelgreatcleveland.com. Thank you again, Brian Zide and Affinity Whole Health.
We here at Blood Time, and of course me, Coach Cimarroni, are excited and overjoyed to be partnering with Evergreen and its leadership provided by CEO Michael D'Aloia. I have known Michael for 20 years, and his intellect, passion, vision, and professionalism are best of breed, and an immensely attractive and deciding reason we are now a proud part of the Evergreen family. In such a tandem, I really think only great things are to come.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry. Evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.